the first dates I've got, 1781, Arkwright lost the patent. In 1782, Gardam and Pears had a wrangle with Arkwright. In 1785, £1,000 per annum was registered.
And we think that was the lease for the mill.
And I think that would be the lease. Mm-hmm. One of the mills was built in 1785-86. In 1799, a flood destroyed the bridge and the mill. In 1802, a fire broke out. In 1805, it was rebuilt. In 1824, Mason and Pears and Haygate came on the scene. In 1839, only Haygate seemed to be around. And in 1840-44, it was Haygate, Bentley, and the arrears were paid off. And that coincides with a note in the High Peak 100. There is also, this is in 1846, there is also an extensive cotton mill on the Derwent, worked by a water power, consisting of two wheels of 22 feet in diameter, of the united power of 110 horses, which are considered the best constructed in the county, and the mill the most complete, being a modern erection, the property of Unwin Haygate and Alfred Bentley Esquire, who have handsome stone residences near the mill, and are now erecting gasworks, of which the gasometer is 37 feet in diameter.
That's interesting, isn't it? Do you know the handsome stone residences? Do you know what which houses they were?
Yes, one was the manager's house and the other was the couple of manager's houses, basically.
Which one's that? Is that Derwent Cottage?
Oh no, that was separate. No, they were actually on the site of the mill.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I rather think this one being preserved, but I wouldn't know which one it is. But there was two quite nice sizable places. Mm.
And you were saying about Graham Gill and his father, was it Massey who came in?
The arrears were paid off in 1840-44 with Haygate and Bentley. And then in 1848, the weir was washed away. Seems to have been a long gap between the next one is 1864 when Toulson and Gibb were there. So I presume that Haygate and Bentley... presume that they had to get it built, because what would it be, 16 years, wouldn't it, from 48 to 64. So that'd be a long time, so in that time they must have got it rebuilt. And in 1899 Gibb retired, and I presume that was when Mr. Massey came. And he came from Lancashire, of course, and brought a lot of people, like the Turner relative, and they lived at where the Cockatree is, Bridge Cottage. Markham bought it, didn't he, at in 1918. Then, of course, Markham didn't live all that long, and there was another sale of Markham's property.
And then it stopped being the cotton mill in the 20s?
I think it was 22 when it was supposed to finish.
Yeah.
And then it went on doing all these sort of things like canning peas and making glassy cherries out of turnips and all that sort of thing that the story goes, you know. There again, that you see from Sheffield, it brought a lot of people into the village there, probably. There was also some fluor spar washing plant there as well. And then the little mill, of course, burnt down in, 36? The little mill burnt down. That was when they were doing the canning and the glassy cherries business. So that it ended that. Then I presume it was the nothing much happened till the war, and I think they housed different things during the war because they had a night watchman in it. He was a local chap, and with having a night watchman, there must have been something in to look after. What it was, I don't know. There was all sorts of rumours as to whether it was coffins and that for the, you know, blitzers and things like that. Could have been anything. And of course it remained like that till Mr. Sissons came along and took it over.
Do you know anything about Shuttle Cottage? Did you find out anything about Shuttle Cottage when you did the book about the village?
I always contended myself that when Shuttle Cottage, the Shuttle House was sold, that belonged to the Weir, and the Shuttle House went together, and they should have gone together, not be ever be separated. But I mean, it was all down there, you know, and controlled from there and everything. So really, one belonged to the other.
So things like Newbury Terrace and Hillside up in Kerber, did the mill owners build them, or did they just buy them?
They built them, I presume. And the Poles had cottages there. They all went with the mill. They'd have to do if they got people coming in, really. I suppose. The whole lot went. All those places had a lot. If you went either this way on this Foles Lane, and you can go down that way. And then you can walk through the back of Hall Fold. Those are the allotments that originally went with the mill.
So at Markham's sale then, everything became private and all that was left was the mill buildings as a separate piece.
You see, what happened at the Hassop estate, Markham bought a lot of it, and a man called Hooley bought a lot. The only trouble was that when Hooley had to settle his account, he hadn't any money. What he'd purchased had to be sort of quickly bought up by anybody that had got any money. I mean, these cottages across were all Hooley cottages.
Right.
And then, of course, they'd all got to be found somebody to take them on.
Because ours was bought at the Hassop sale. That's when ours went into private ownership.
Yeah, all the whole estate was. All carved.
Because I don't think Hooley was on is on our deed, so I think ours must have gone straight into...
I don't think he'd be on anybody's deeds, because you see that he never really paid for them, so therefore he wouldn't.